Afoot and light-hearted, I take to the open road. Healthy, free, the world before me, the long brown path before me, leading wherever I choose. Henceforth I ask not good fortune. I myself am good fortune. Henceforth I whimper no more, postpone no more, need nothing. Strong and content, I travel the open road. Walt Whitman.
Random House Audio presents Horatio's Drive, America's First Road Trip, by Dayton Duncan, with a preface by Ken Burns. Read for you by the authors, with Tom Hanks, Philip Bosco, Kevin Conway, Jonathan Davis, and George Plimpton.
The way we enter our history. I love to drive. I love to drive. I can think of only a few pleasures in life that are more satisfying than getting in a car and starting out on a road trip, especially if it's new territory. I love realizing, and it is a constant and sustaining realization, that I am on a road I've never been on before, that what I am seeing unfolding before me is brand new, and it is only a short leap in my mind before I start thinking about who were the first Europeans to see this exact view and what they thought. And then it is an even shorter leap, and I'm trying to imagine what this looked like to Native Americans, a pristine, unspoiled nature, ready to accept silently whatever those contradictory and ambiguous humans would do to it over succeeding ages. In those moments, it seems as if it could be possible to comprehend the entire United States, to know it, this beautiful, fragile land, like one knows a familiar and beloved poem, that if one just kept on the road, kept going down new highways, it would be possible not only to express in words, but to actually experience, to apprehend in scope, as perhaps a single blood cell does the whole body, this country I love so much. Such are the dreams of the road, and while I'm perfectly content to do all of this alone, and have in good times and bad, there's something about sharing the journey that magnifies and intensifies all of those thoughts and vistas. An unforgettable trip along the Skyline Drive in the Blue Ridge Mountains with my usually distracted father when I was 5, and its equally memorable compliment 42 years later with my then 14-year-old youngest daughter comes to mind, as does the slightly sad image of my family, including my desperately sick mother, packed into a huge rented station wagon, groaning under the weight of everything we could not bear to entrust to movers, taking our worries and hopes from Newark, Delaware to Ann Arbor, Michigan, when I was nearly 10. I recall a trip to an utterly exotic Florida, complete with a dramatic tire blowout and exquisite pauses to chase armadillos through the jungle, and an all-nighter with other hippies to an anti-war march in Washington, D.C., when I almost choked to death on a lemon drop on the Ohio Turnpike and won $15 at bingo to the chagrin of the regular patrons at the Volunteer Fire Department of Pikesville, Maryland. I have an almost perfect memory of every route and approach we have taken over the last 13 straight summers as my daughters and I headed to the Telluride Film Festival in the majestic and breathtaking San Juan Mountains of Colorado. I can remember as if it were yesterday a trip we took back from Massachusetts at age 9 when I looked out the window and counted under my breath to 8,000 or something equally ridiculous, and the time after my mother died when we survivors drove to the biological station at Mountain Lake, Virginia, where my brother and I would be parked with relatives, and my father made up on the spot what seemed like dozens of hilarious, nonsensical verses to a blues tune he titled 20 Miles from Athens, Ohio. And then there was a more recent trip through a very long night from Michigan with my father's ashes and memorabilia from his disappointing, truncated life slowing me down, my aloneness mitigated by friends and loved ones who gently urged me onward with perfectly timed cell phone calls. But it is the trips I have taken with my dear friend and colleague Dayton Duncan that have meant the most to me over the years and have brought me the most sustained joy and happy memories that I can summon from the road. I first met Dayton 15 years ago on a road trip I had yet to take. We had been then just casual acquaintances when he shared with me his remarkable first book, Out West, in which he retraced and retold Lewis and Clark's stunning and heroic journey in humorous and unusually moving ways. I loved the book. It was eloquent and generous and spoke to a part in me, as yet unarticulated, that yearned for more experiences of the road. And the highest compliment I can give, no one loves his country more than Dayton, and it is a love tested along hundreds of thousands of miles of roads in the blood system of America. Reading his book and discovering that we shared many other common interests and enthusiasms propelled us into a friendship I treasure as much as any other, and launched a completely satisfying professional association that has produced over the last dozen years several films and companion books, including The West, Mark Twain, and of course, Lewis and Clark, The Journey of the Core of Discovery. Discovery, indeed. That film and book project took us again and again to nearly every spot along the Lewis and Clark Trail as we strained to see and record what the earlier explorers had experienced. Traveling along steep mountain roads or the dirt tracks of the prairie in our trusty Suburban, our friendship deepened. It was clear that we both loved maps and navigating and doing the driving, and while I cannot speak for Dayton, I know now that he is one of the few people I trust unhesitatingly behind the wheel. We both loved to get up early, to steal a march on some remote location, or shot, or sunset, and sometime, I'm not sure exactly when, during that earlier production, we began to play a game with each other. Mindful of the rather limited cuisine at the local cafes of the dozens of small towns we passed through, one of us, just before lunch or supper, would ask the other, "What are you planning to eat once we get into, say, Geraldine, Montana?" At that point, the town would be just visible off in the distance, maybe 10 miles away. With a straight face, the other would launch into the most elaborate description of the most amazing multi-course gourmet meal this side of Paris, France. At which point, the other would say simply, "So what do you want on your cheeseburger?" Then we would silently drive the rest of the way into Geraldine, or such like town, and have a cheeseburger. As I took more road trips with Dayton for the Lewis and Clark film and other projects, an old Spanish proverb would come to mind that the late great animation genius Chuck Jones had once told me. "It's not the inn at the end of the day," he said, "but the road." Like the country Dayton and I both love, dedicated to a pursuit of happiness, always in the process of becoming, the open road leading us onward was the perfect metaphor for our own personal and collective search. Somewhere out there, we would find out something about our country and ourselves, and like Lewis and Clark, it would always be for us a journey of discovery. And somewhere along that road, in the American West, in the mid-1990s, though Dayton insists he told me years before in 1990, I began to realize that he was trying to interest me in making a film on the story of Horatio Nelson Jackson. It was the little-known story of the first cross-country automobile trip, accomplished with exquisite historical symmetry, he regaled me, exactly 100 years after Meriwether Lewis got his marching orders from Thomas Jefferson to find out what the $15 million he'd spent for the Louisiana Territory had bought. Jackson's trip had been made on a dare, a $50 bet, Dayton said, in a men's club in San Francisco, when in front of Jackson some gentleman had poo-pooed the future of the horseless carriage. Jackson had had almost no automotive experience, Dayton continued, and yet he was going to try to do what many automotive experts had tried and failed miserably to do, to drive all the way to New York City in less than 90 days. The story, he said, had everything. It was about freedom, good old American perseverance, the open road.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?